Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
Would you walk us through a typical day?
Burger King, Wendy's, and McDonald's.
Stop spending!
I'm president and you're not.
This is the greatest country in the world, but we do have some really stupid people representing it from time to time.
I am proud to shut down the government. I will be the one to shut it down. I'm not going to blame you for it.
Now, Mark Reardon.
I don't think he's a smart person, but he's got a loud voice.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Welcome. Good afternoon, 206. It is a Thursday edition of the Mark Reardon Show, and I got off the air last night, and right after I got off the air, the president sends this video out, and I was driving around, actually went and picked up my daughter at what they call Adventure Club, and I never really got to hear what he said. I heard people reacting to it, and I'm guessing this afternoon maybe a lot of people haven't heard what he said either, and I do want to play a little bit of that. We have Lindsey Graham chiming in on impeachment, and we do have a lot to get to here this afternoon, including an update on what's going on in the St. Louis County Council. We have a roundtable set for tomorrow. Four state senators John Lapping and Jeff Smith, one a Republican, one a Democrat. They are friends, former colleagues, and they should be great tomorrow with Jane. We'll run it all down. The latest with what happened in Washington, in Jeff City, at the St. Louis County Council, all of that coming up tomorrow. One story that I'm going to kind of dial into here very, very soon, as in at about 10 minutes, is I think some people might not be aware of this. I found this out yesterday. I think the rules kind of came down on Monday, maybe Monday or Tuesday. Well, the CDC is issuing guidelines for travel now. So this became a little personal for me because I have a trip planned. But for example, let's say you have a trip planned and you're going to Mexico or somewhere else. I'm going to Mexico. That's why I bring it up. Well, you can't come back into the country starting on the 26th of this month. So you got a little leeway time here. You will not be allowed back in the country unless you get a COVID test at this point. Now, how long that will last, I don't know. Dr. John LaPook, CBS News medical correspondent, is going to join me here in just a few minutes with some details on that. I think that's going to complicate things as my phone rings quite a bit. There's an interesting story that I just saw, and I don't know how this is going to play into it, but there is a report this afternoon of a congressman who has gotten both doses of the vaccine and has now tested positive for the coronavirus. So, again, well, you can kind of break it down and say, look, a 95% effective vaccine isn't 100% effective by definition. But remember the story that I told, and I think that even with this travel thing, this could get complicated, because I had friends who had this thing in September and then 6 weeks later threw off a positive test and put me and a bunch of other folks into quarantine. There's medical research that shows that this happens. It's not happening all the time, but in fact, it is happening where people are testing positive. So I don't know if you're going to be able to tell the difference, though. Let's say you go down and you think you had the thing. I guess if you had it, though, you should get the antibodies, right? But if you had it and you don't have the antibodies test, and then all of a sudden you test positive, there may be some questions. But we'll talk to Dr. LaPook about that. Let's play what the president said last night. Now, why this took a week, I'm not exactly sure. And if you listen carefully, I'd like the folks out there right now, if there's any left, to think in some fantasy land that it was not Trump supporters, but it was Antifa that was responsible for this. You should probably hear what the president has to say, although I think there is some code here with his message. So it's a video message, a little less stilted than last week. This guy loves cameras. I'm not exactly sure why he can't come out and do this in person, but here's the message from last night.
My fellow Americans, I want to speak to you tonight about the troubling events of the past week. As I have said, the incursion of the U.S. Capitol struck at the very heart of our republic. It angered and appalled millions of Americans across the political spectrum. I want to be very clear. I unequivocally condemn the violence that we saw last week. Violence and vandalism have absolutely no place in our country and no place in our movement. Making America Great Again has always been about defending the rule of law, supporting the men and women of law enforcement, and upholding our nation's most sacred traditions and values. Mob violence goes against everything I believe in and everything our movement stands for.
Well, I think a lot of people justifiably would say, well, where was that message a week ago? I mean, that's the message that should have been delivered at pretty much this time last Wednesday, 2 p.m. last Wednesday, 4 p.m., 6 p.m., 8 p.m., maybe on Thursday, maybe on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but it happened last night. And here's the message for, now I don't know if this is code or not, but here's what he said about the rioters.
No true supporter of mine could ever endorse political violence. No true supporter of mine could ever disrespect law enforcement or our great American flag. No true supporter of mine could ever threaten or harass their fellow Americans. If you do any of these things, you are not supporting our movement, you are attacking it, and you are attacking our country. We cannot tolerate it.
I guess I'd like to know how that's interpreted amongst the circles of QAnon and supporters who were there last week. I mean, I think there's a little code in there in the sense that no true supporters, when he says no true supporters, there's this nonsense out there, and you know the president's tried to spread it, that Antifa was responsible for all this. And I don't know how much more video proof you need and evidence. Somebody told me last night, well, you know, anyone can put a MAGA hat on. Really? As I said after this last week, you would have had to have one of the most elaborate Hollywood productions and biggest costume and makeup budgets in Hollywood history to pull this off as Antifa last week. So that's a bunch of nonsense, and the president knows it, but he's still using the code word out there. He also got into, now this is serious, and this is where you get into uncomfortable territory with what's going on with Jack and Twitter and Facebook right now, because he addressed the free speech issue.
I also want to say a few words about the unprecedented assault on free speech we have seen in recent days. These are tense and difficult times. The efforts to censor, cancel, and blacklist our fellow citizens are wrong and they are dangerous. What is needed now is for us to listen to one another, not to silence one another. All of us can choose by our actions to rise above the rancor and find common ground and shared purpose.
I just think that the whole tone of that, the words are weird. It doesn't even sound like it's something that he would say. And again, I don't know if the theory is he's worried about some sort of civil repercussions or anything along those lines. I have no idea. Meantime, he was impeached for the second time yesterday, and that's something that will be a scar on the legacy for the rest of history. And we've talked about this a little bit. I'm going to play a little Lindsey Graham here. Lindsey Graham is taking grief because last week he gave the speech. He goes, I'm out of here. You know, I'm done. And then he goes on the plane with Trump yesterday on the impeachment front. The reality is there's no way to remove him from office at this point, right? So what's the point? Well, it is political. But Graham kind of makes some good points here. And in some things that, you know, it's easy to act emotionally. And a lot of people want to act emotionally. But you got to think things through. And are there some warning signs here for the future as well? Here's Senator Graham.
The president of the United States was impeached today without one witness being called, without a lawyer present. And it's an assault on the presidency itself. These actions, if they continue, will incite more violence. Every time you ask President Trump to calm his people down, to reject violence, to move on, he has done it. Now, how has he been met? I think outrageous misconduct by the Congress itself. So what comes next? We had an impeachment in 24 hours without a witness, without a lawyer, without a real hearing. Now, what's the trial going to look like? We're going to impeach Donald Trump after he's out of office.
Let me, Dave, squeeze one more in here. Let's go to the third bite from Lindsey Graham on impeachment. This was a good point, too.
If this becomes the norm, be careful what you wish for today. Under this theory, the radical left, if you can impeach a president after they're out of office, why don't we impeach George Washington? He owned slaves. Where does this stop? So to my Republican colleagues, let's stand firm for the idea, whether you like Donald Trump or not, he's not above the law. If he did something wrong, you know, he can face the consequences of the law. Impeachment is political. What we're doing here is we're impeaching the president without any evidence, without any witnesses, and we're going to have a trial after they're out of office. How do you survive as a president in the future? This will be an attack on the presidency in perpetuity.
I think it would be pretty easy to put a trial together with witnesses and information and evidence on insurrection after last week. I really do. I don't think it would take too much time at all, but they haven't done that, and they're doing it backwards, and I think that's part of, you know, his point there, Senator Graham. All right, we're going to be off and running here this afternoon. I do want to talk a little bit about what's going on with travel and the coronavirus. Dr. John LaPook from CBS News is going to join me in a couple of minutes. My friend John Ziegler. John and I sort of on the same page with a lot of this stuff when it comes to politics and COVID. He's out in Los Angeles, Mediaite columnist, talk show host. He's going to join us a little bit later this hour. We're going to get a follow-up on the county council shenanigans and what's going on and whether we actually have a leader of the St. Louis County Council. And a topic that I was going to get to last week, Tim Sommer is a music journalist, good friend of the show. He's a former record company executive, and he contributes to the Rock and Roll Globe website. Lindsey Buckingham cashed out, sold his publishing rights to Fleetwood Mac songs, and it's kind of an interesting behind-the-scenes deal, so we'll get to that. And an audio cut of the day this afternoon, all coming up on KMOX. It's 2:16. Dr. LaPook is coming up next.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show, sponsored by Cantor Injury Law on KMOX.
Hey, nice start for the Blues last night against the Avalanche. We're going to get Kevin with some details on that as we move into the afternoon. I'm sure we have COVID updates in the world of college basketball this afternoon. There seemingly always is something along those lines. So that's all coming up during Total Information PM. We have a little snow heading our way, and Steve Templeton will update us in the 4 o'clock hour. Right now, I heard this yesterday, I'm a little panicked, so we're going to find out the details. CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook is with me from New York. Dr. LaPook, how are you?
I'm fine. Happy New Year, Mark. Great to be here.
Well, I want to start with the travel restrictions. I was sent into a bit of shock yesterday when somebody texted me some information because I have, a lot of people probably have trips. Dr. LaPook, I always make it about myself, so forgive me. But I have a trip planned. A lot of people have trips planned. And I am very worried, and I'm mostly worried for my daughter because we had to cancel this trip to Mexico last year. But is it true that now if you're going out of the country in order to get back into the country, no matter where it is, except for U.S. territories, that you have to have a clean COVID bill of health? Explain this, because I don't know how many people have heard about this at this point.
Sure. So this is going to go into effect on January 26th. So there's a little time to get prepared for it. But before you leave to come back to the United States, you have to have a test. They recommended that's 3 days before you come back. So before your flight, you've got to have a test that's written that says that it's negative, whether it's a PCR or an antigen test. And then once you get here, the CDC is recommending you get tested again 3 to 5 days after arrival, and you stay home for 7 days post-travel. And hopefully that's going to help slow the spread of COVID-19. Now, it's not going to be perfect, right? Because remember, the incubation period, Mark, is 2 to 14 days. So theoretically, somebody could get infected, you know, the day before they travel, still have had a negative test 3 days before they travel, and then suddenly blossom 10 days after they arrive. So it's not perfect, but, you know, it's the whole idea is that it's just a rip-roaring pandemic. It's raging across international borders, and, you know, what can we do to try to stop it, especially with we're hearing about these different variants that may be more contagious, you know, spreading around now.
And in understanding all that being the case, there are still people that are going to try to go out of the country, maybe to Mexico or other locations like me, and they're going to have difficulty doing that right now. So is this indefinitely, you know, if it starts January 26th, are they going to reevaluate this? Do we know anything about that?
Right now, there's no end to it. And they're going to be checking, you know, they're going to be checking, the airline's going to be checking, and it's got to be, you know, you have to have a written report, written documentation, either paper or electronic, of a laboratory test result, and they're serious.
Well, when you say they're serious, you mean the CDC is serious, and the airlines have to comply too, because this is going to put a pretty big hurt on the airlines and tourism. I mean, just when they're starting to ramp up, this is going to put the kibosh on that, I'm guessing.
Well, you know, it's just another requirement. I don't know if it's going to put the kibosh on it, but, you know, we are in a world war right now. The world war happens to be against this virus, and we have hundreds of thousands of people in the United States alone dying every day. And I think it's, you know, we have to pick it up and do everything we possibly can. I mean, that said, this is going to be one possible intervention. But the way this is going to, we're going to get our arms around this pandemic, of course, is going to be with vaccination. And that means actually getting the vaccine in your arm, not just sending out the vaccine to the states and having it sit in warehouses. So actually, vaccinations are what save lives, not vaccines. And then wearing masks, doing all the rest of that stuff. And then, sadly, if you look at a map of the United States, it looks like it's on fire. So if you're having hundreds of thousands of people every day get COVID, that's the equivalent of those people being immunized, right? So you're having herd immunity naturally building up. You've got the vaccines that are rolling out. And you've got hope. I saw some recent statistics showing that more people are wearing masks and following the mitigation recommendations. I'm hopeful that by, you know, the time spring rolls around, you're going to really start to see the pandemic numbers start to go down.
Dr. Donald Pook with me this afternoon. I took a few phone calls yesterday on the question of the vaccine because I had heard some people telling me that there was some pretty severe reactions to, you know, to the vaccine. I got good news yesterday because most of the people who called, I got some emails and tweets too. For the most part, it was just minor, you know, side effects. So that, you know, I was concerned because I thought, look, if this is serious side effects, are people going to take the second shot? Then the question, though, becomes the access to the vaccine. And that's still a big issue in Missouri and throughout the country. Is there any new information about ramping up distribution?
You know, that's the big question. So I got my second Pfizer vaccine yesterday, and my left arm is little tiny bit sore, and otherwise I feel fine. I mean, I'm seeing patients, and I was on the COVID wards at NYU Langone Health, where I'm a professor of medicine, last spring. So, you know, I'm part of the team of people who are seeing patients, and then it's going down. And of course, one of the things about distribution is we don't have like a national strategy for it, right? So each state is responsible for the distribution plan. Imagine, Mark, that you had a football game with 50 coaches, 50 different game plans, and by the way, six or seven assistant coaches, and everybody's calling audibles. That's kind of what we're hearing right now. So it's hard for people to have any kind of confidence in when they are going to get the vaccine. I'm an internist and a gastroenterologist. I have all my internal medicine patients are calling all the time and saying, or emailing me and saying, when are we going to get it? Right now, New York State is you know, out of the vaccine, or at least they're not distributing any to NYU Langone Health, where I am. So I just got a notice from NYU Langone Health saying, we're not getting any more vaccine this week and maybe not next week. So, you know, there is the cavalry is on the way. I'm told, you know, Pfizer a couple of days ago said they thought they were going to increase distribution from 1.3 billion doses this year to 2 billion. We have Johnson & Johnson, and we've got AstraZeneca down the line. We think they're going to be coming on board. Moderna is making a lot of vaccines. So right now, what the variant that makes it more contagious is telling us, and what the fact that it's just on fire across the United States and across the world right now is that the metronome has picked up, right? The pace of the conductor of this has picked up. So if it's spreading a little bit faster now for a lot of reasons, including all the travel that happened over the holidays, we've got to really get this vaccine out as soon as possible.
So do you have any opinion? There was a story in the New York Times yesterday. In 1918, this thing kind of went away after a couple of years. And the story in the New York Times said that some scientists, experts think that this will, to a certain extent, you know, the end game will be people will be herd immunity. You get the vaccine, and then maybe this will be no more of a threat than the common cold, was what they said. You agree with that research or any opinions on that?
Yeah, there's some great, I think it's called The Great Influenza by John Barry. I read that book about the 1918 pandemic. Everybody should read it. So many things that happened then are happening now.
Parallels.
People saying, you know, it's my right not to wear a mask, you know, all that stuff. But I think, you know, it remains to be seen in terms of what the mortality is going to end up being. I mean, the mortality right now is higher than for, you know, much higher for the flu, and it's higher than for, certainly higher than for a regular cold. And remember that even when we had a vaccine against smallpox, it took decades for us to wipe it out. So I think you're going to see, my sense is that by next fall, you're going to really see things returning towards normal. It won't be totally normal, towards normal. I think you may really start to see Broadway opening up, theaters opening up, schools open. But you may also see people still wearing the masks. You know, what are we all finding this year? That there's like no flu season or very, very mild flu season. A lot of people are saying, I'm not getting colds, I'm not getting sore throats, all the things, you know. So wearing masks actually can maybe become part of our culture in the way as it has in Asia after the 2003 SARS-1 epidemic there or outbreak there. They all just naturally started wearing masks just in the course of everyday life.
And Dr. Lupuk, the other thing is there's been a lot of research about this thing being airborne. I've never believed that I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on the radio, but I've never bought into the notion that we're getting this thing from surfaces. I know there were a lot of questions about that, but airborne seems likely.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's the aerosol scientists who have taught us this. People like Kim Prather and Lindsay Marr and Don Milton, you know, different discipline coming in and saying, hey, guys, we've been studying this for decades. It's in the air. And here's the best analogy that they told me, okay? And it goes to what you should do in a normal day. If you are indoors and you are with people who are not in your protective pod or bubble, you should be wearing masks even if you are farther than 6 feet away. That's a change. You know, the CDC and others, WHO, you say if you're 6 feet away, you're safe. That's not true. Think of it like cigarette smoke. So if you are 30 feet away from somebody and they're smoking a cigarette, are you going to smell it? Yes. And that's because these aerosols, these viruses, they can float across the room in aerosols, tiny little particles, and over time they can accumulate in the air, especially if the ventilation is not good. So if you're in a room with people who are not in your pod, open the windows, crack the doors, try to have the ventilation as good as you can, and you must wear the masks. That's a change in recommendation that happened around like September over the summer. And it's different than what people were being told earlier. So that's very, very important.
CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John Lupuk, always great to have you on CAMOX. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
229. You know, obviously people are going to hear the mask recommendations and probably have some opinions of that. Remember the research that came out, I think it was the Denmark research that showed that masks were not, you know, in their research, they showed that really there wasn't a big effect. But they said it was because not enough people were wearing masks. So they essentially want you to wear masks all the time, which I suppose medically I understand the recommendation, but it's not very practical. By the way, this is a reason that California and, California is probably the best example of this, with people in minority populations living on top of one another. And this happened in Miami, too. Remember when I had the mayor of Miami last year say, look, if you're indoors, wear a mask. He was begging people to do that because they knew that's how it was spreading in families and in, you know, apartment buildings and places like that. It's 2:30. We'll get to the news. John Ziegler from California, Mediaite columnist, fellow talk show host, coming up right after Carol gives us all the latest on KMOX. We have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow, second roundtable of the year. Former state senators Jeff Smith and John Lamping, who quite honestly are just kind of chomping at the bit and waiting to weigh in, because those two guys, we had them set up for last Wednesday in the aftermath of the Georgia runoffs. Remember, I'm old enough to remember the Georgia runoffs when those happened and the results of those. So Senator Lamping, Senator Smith, former senators on the panel tomorrow with Jane, a lot to talk about. Still trying to figure out what's going on with the county council, because I don't know that anyone really has the answer. And then the other thing that sort of relates to that, I'll get into this in the next hour, the audio that was caught by the, I guess it's a relative of the chief, which doesn't look good. St. Louis County just cannot get out of its way when it comes to idiotic racist things at the police department or homophobic or whatever, right? I mean, this one is just caught on tape, nasty, and there's a relation to the chief. So we'll talk about that here in the next hour as well. Right now, my friend John Ziegler from Los Angeles. He's a Mediaite columnist, also fellow talk show host. A lot to catch up on. John, Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year. I'm hanging in there.
I think, you know, just to establish this from the beginning here, you and I have, to a certain extent, been on the same page from the beginning here with Trump. We were not fans of his from the beginning, but we never crossed into that dark side of never Trumpers, because they kind of got weird too, right?
Well, my view has been that Trump was not going to be worth it to the Republican conservative cause in the long run. That was always my greatest fear, was that the backlash to Trump was going to overcome whatever good he might be able to do. I have to say, I was wrong about some of the things he was able to do in a positive direction,
me
like,
too.
For instance, judges. And I praised him dramatically when he stood by Justice Kavanaugh when no one else would have under those circumstances, and he was right to do that. However, I do believe in the broader picture that even before the last week, my view was vindicated, certainly clearly by what happened in the Georgia runoffs. I mean, the Republican Party is in far worse shape now than it was before Trump, and culturally, we have basically had our way of life destroyed under Trump's watch. I think it was a very bad chess move. I think that you know, people who really like Trump are probably checkers players, and it felt good to take a few checkers pieces. But I was one of those who looked at this and said, "Wait a minute, this is a chessboard, and we're making an attack where we don't have the right board. This is going to come back to haunt us." Another analogy might be, this is the greatest drug binge of all time, and what happens at the end of a drug binge? There's a crash, and that's what we're experiencing right now.
You know, the thing that really, even last night, okay, and here we are, what we're less than a week out now from inauguration, I still have people, and I'd like to think it's in the minority, although I see the polling. I heard what Frank Luntz had to say, John. I don't know. People are sending me messages, Mark, your credibility is ruined. It's Antifa. They keep saying it's Antifa that did all this last week, John.
Why did President Trump himself say
yes,
exactly the opposite? Why did he condemn his own people for the attacks? Why did he concede the election? Can someone please explain to me any of that? I mean,
I know.
There's no evidence that of widespread Antifa responsibility here. Just look at the videos. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I get why people don't want to admit that their own people did this. And let's be clear, it was a small percentage of people. All right, I am against painting everybody with this broad brush that somehow,
as am I,
all Trump supporters in favor of insurrection. But this happened, and you know, I believe that Trump has some responsibility for it because he lied to his base for 2 months, and it wasn't just a mild lie. It was a vicious lie. It was a dramatic lie. The election was stolen. It was rigged. I won in a landslide, and your way of life is coming to an end unless you fight back hard right now. And Mike Pence can save the day, which was the biggest lie of all time. And so you've got video of people saying, "Hang Mike Pence," you know, chanting that. I'm sorry, that's not Antifa. That those are people responding to Donald Trump's own words. And, you know, I go back, the analogy I always use is the scene from Rocky, the original Rocky, where Apollo Creed's trainer is trying to tell Apollo Creed that Rocky doesn't understand this is a damn show. He thinks this is a damn fight. Well, Trump thought it was a show to show how much he's loved and to soothe his bruised ego. His cult didn't think that. His cult thought it was a fight. And it ended up in a disastrous, horrific situation that has handed the left the greatest weapon that they could possibly imagine. Now, interestingly, I actually think the left could, and I can't believe they're going to be this dumb, could be alleviating the Republican Party of a massive problem by doing what they're doing with regard to banning Trump from social media and potentially banning him from ever running for office again. I just can't believe they're going to give us this gift, Mark. I just don't believe they're that dumb. I think that Trump will probably get his Twitter handle back, his account back, and that he will not be banned from future office, because if those two things happen, that's the only way the Republican Party can compete in 2024. That is the only way. If Trump can run and threaten to run and has his 88 million Twitter followers, then the Republican Party cannot win in 2024. And the liberal establishment has to understand that. So I'm baffled by how things are.
Well, that's an interesting. Right, I don't know that I disagree with that theory. Mediaite senior columnist John Ziegler, talk show host as well. But let's kind of focus on why some of this is happening. And another theme that's common with your show, your podcast, your columns is the media coverage of this. Look, people believe this because they don't trust. You go back to Kavanaugh. This is where I kind of took a turn too in Trump's, you know, favor, because I thought that was disgusting the way that played out in the media. And we can go back to last summer and all that nonsense too. But John, this is, you know, when I was watching last Wednesday, I'm watching, flipping around when all this was happening. Major Garrett, who I kind of like, he's a Mizzou guy. He's preaching at me. You know, the CNN folks are definitely on their high horse. You cannot go, there is no news source really, and I guess we've known this for a while, where you can just find good information.
No, it's a joke. It's beyond parody now. I mean, you and I met back in 2009 when I did a movie about the 2008 election called Media Malpractice, and you hosted a screening for us there, and I thought we would never see anything as bad as what happened with the Obama media in 2008 and the destruction at the time, and it was unfair of Sarah Palin. That was child's play in comparison to what we have now. I believe that the fragmentation of the news media has effectively allowed every media outlet to let their hair down and just let it all out and go balls to the wall and say, you know what, we're not even going to pretend that we are objective journalists or news organizations now. We are purely advocates, and if it gets us love on woke Twitter, that's a sign of success. That's success now. Not telling the truth or asking tough questions. No, it's about how much love you get from woke Twitter. Woke Twitter is literally editing the New York Times, and it's literally dictating what cable news does on a nightly basis. And I used to watch CNN. I knew it was left wing, but I could at least bear it. And here I don't even like Donald Trump, and I can't stand it for more than a few seconds. It's just ridiculous.
I know. I'm with you.
Nauseating.
It is nauseating, and I don't know where, you know, you can find some refuge there in the future with kind of things settling down with media. And then on that front, I'll close with this, John, because I know you're tweeting about this a little bit. Here we have, I'm not sure if I know where you think, what direction we're going to head in. So Joe Biden gets inaugurated, and you're in the land of the lockdowns, of course, out there in California. We don't have as many restrictions here, but there are seemingly some people now, like Governor Cuomo and maybe Mayor Lightfoot in Chicago, that are starting to believe what we've believed from the beginning, that this is kind of killing the economy and jobs, right? They're late to the game, but do you think the tone is going to change then next week?
Well, I've been saying for months that it would be after the Biden inauguration that we would start to see a change in the narrative, a change in the media, weather. But that this, I didn't think it was going to be immediate, because there has to be a period of time where we can plausibly claim, and when I say we, I mean the media and the Democratic establishment, plausibly claim that getting rid of Trump is the reason why we're able to do these things now, and that Joe Biden has saved us from COVID. What has shocked me is that the two people you just mentioned, Cuomo and Lightfoot, have seemingly reversed themselves even before the inauguration, which is amazing. I mean, so transparent, and really a rational person. Again, I'm not a Trump guy at all, but a rational person has got to start concluding, wait a minute, science didn't suddenly change. It's not like COVID went away. Isn't it logical to think that at least some of this was motivated by screwing Donald Trump? I mean, because I think that's what a large part of this was. I have always believed, Mark, that the prism through which liberals saw COVID was the Trump presidency and his reelection. And my only hope, and I'm a pessimist by nature, but I always try to find some semblance of hope. My only
yes.
hope for the future of this country is that once Biden is in office, that the scales are going to fall from the eyes of enough liberals to realize how insanely we have treated this COVID situation, that it's going to change the political environment. I don't know if that's going to be the case. There's some signs that it might be the case, but that to me is the only hope, that suddenly, whether it's 20 or 30% of the liberal population goes, what the hell have we just done? Because I'm no longer seeing this through the prism of Donald Trump. You see where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I do. And I think there might be some hope for that. And by the way, I just retweeted. So John sent out a tweet a little while ago. There's a picture at UCLA Health in California. It's a mall, a little place you can go to the mall for UCLA Health and get a COVID test. And you said, look, you're asked to go to a crowded mall or a mall filled with adults in a city where all schools are totally closed. The insanity goes on. We're lucky here. We have a lot of schools open in Missouri.
Well, the people there should be thankful because, you know, my 8-year-old is incredibly frustrated. She hasn't learned anything in almost a year. She has a learning disability to begin with. There are many people in far worse shape than she is. This is causing devastation, the likes of which we have no comprehension of, that we are going to be suffering because of for at least a generation, if not more. And unfortunately, the worst part about it, Mark, is I see no evidence that it has saved any lives. That's the part that really drives me crazy. If it was actually saving lives, I would say, okay, fine. But there's no evidence of that. And people ought to admit that they were wrong and fix it before it's too late.
John Ziegler, always great to have you on, Zig. I appreciate it. Keep at him. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, we're coming back here, 248. I mentioned that controversy with the police dispatcher, and how does this happen? Dropping the N-word, caught on tape. We'll talk about that. And we haven't done this since what happened last Wednesday. I think we're going to take some phone calls on Antifa and impeachment and all that stuff coming up on KMOX.
Day mornings at 8:30, Charlie Brennan and Amy Marks-Kors provide perspective on KMOX and KMOX.com.
252. I want to take some phone calls here in just a couple of minutes, but let me run down this story. I haven't commented on this week on this, and I'm just kind of waiting for some of the facts to come out in the audio, and I'm still a little confused as to how the St. Louis County Police Chief has not reacted to this at this point, because apparently it's her brother-in-law. Okay, so Mary Barton is the chief. Our friend Tony Messenger in the Post reported that Mark Peeler is the guy who said this. So let's get a little flavor. It was Channel 5 that broke this story the other day, and there's even more controversy because Keith Wildhaber, who was the officer who won a huge settlement, $10 million settlement against the county, and he was the head of the diversity and inclusion unit. He stepped down as that because he went to the media when he found out about this story. And seemingly, maybe he should have, considering what went on. So there's dispatch, things coming in. You'll hear this a little bit. Let's just play what the chatter sounds like. I think a lot of people have heard police radios.
17, that's clear, thank you. 1102 off duty.
Car 1102 off duty, 347.
Okay, so they're responding to something. There's a couple of calls. There's always kind of a lot of things that are going on in this. And then the audio that was released here, it's at the 19-minute mark, and this is what you hear.
Our 2104 domestic disturbance. Dispatcher, your key.
Dave, you can't even hear. This is the problem with it. Dave Klein went to work on this, and he's keeping me from being fired in the station, being fined by the FCC. But we can't even give like a little bit of that because it's going to be pretty clear. Basically, it was a word that starts with F and then the N word, right? Those were the two words that we bleeped out there.
That's correct. Yeah, right back to
okay,
back, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, he says blanking N-words. And then it almost as if, I don't know, if you listen to it, I don't know if he realized that he said it on the open mic. Well, it's clear that it happened. Wildhaber goes to the media. There's an open records request. You have the audio. I mean, there's no denying that it happened. You just don't know exactly, I suppose, who said it for certain and what the context was, although I don't know if the context really matters in this point. I think it would be probably a good time for... Hey, who's next in line for chief of police for St. Louis County? Are we going to lose another chief already? Because the folks at the Post-Dispatch aren't going to let go on this one. And in this particular case, they probably shouldn't. I mean, it's pretty outrageous. And you can't. It's very difficult to make a case, as Chief Barton has, and she came on this show one time, I think, last year, that this is not a significant issue with this county police department, that racism and things along those lines, bigoted officers are not an issue. You can deny that, and I'd like to believe, I guess, maybe even naively, that it's not as prevalent as it is, and then all of a sudden you get a piece of audio that pops up like this. All right, Dave, my producer, is going to love this. You're going to love it, Dave. I know you've been looking forward to this because I want to talk to people this afternoon about impeachment, about the 25th Amendment. I really want someone to explain to me, because there are some of you out there that really feel strongly in your heart that the election was stolen. And I want you to explain how at this point, even after President Trump sort of said last night that, I don't know, maybe he did say it was, but how do you feel that right now, a week after this? And why do you feel, because I'm still getting people telling me, even after Zig, I got some idiot on Twitter that hit me, who got blocked right away, because they find some wacko news source out there that claims it was Antifa, when there's overwhelming evidence that it was not Antifa. And what I said from the very beginning, let's say that there were some Antifa people sprinkled in. There probably were, right? We knew that they, you know, they're troublemakers too. They were not the ones that were cheering hang Mike Pence. They were not the Air Force veteran shot in the neck dead by a Capitol Police officer. They were not the person who stole the lectern from Nancy Pelosi's office. They were not the person, Antifa, that, you know, sat. Well, wait, Mark. This is what I was told last week by some crazy person. You know what? Anyone can put on a red hat. I'm going to wait for the investigations. Wait for the investigations. How about just look at some of the media? And it's shameful that people want to connect themselves with this. But some of you do. And I'm quite baffled by it. 436-7900. Jump on in. Let's tangle this afternoon. I know Dave's excited. We'll take some calls after the news on KMOX. Hang in there. Second hour coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.